Chapter 14. What's the difference between a lightsaber and a glow rod? About 2,000 degrees. Jason Solo, age 15. It felt great to sweat again. The outdoor sparring session wasn't the only exercise Jaina had performed since returning to the secret base at Shedu Mod. Since she'd limped back after failing to kill Kytus at Nickel One, but today was the first time Sil'Gall had allowed her to really let go, to prove to Luke and everyone else that she was ready to attack again. Jaina sprang at Zek, doubling him over with a powerful thrust kick to the gut, then dropped to her haunches, and realized why when an electro staff came swinging through where her neck had been a split second earlier. She immediately spun into a squatting leg wheel, hooking her heel behind a furry stump of a leg and sweeping it forward. Lobaka roared in surprise and tried to transfer his balance to his other leg, but Jaina was already coming up on his flank, driving her shoulder into him and sending him tumbling. The electro staff came down across Zek's shoulder, emitting a sharp crackle as it discharged its immobilizing shock. Jaina slapped the flexible blade of her own staff across Lobaka's back, then heard Jag rushing in behind her and sent him flying with a back kick to the belly. Tisar was on her like a rancor, driving her back with a flurry of scaly-footed kicks and cane strikes, his dark Barabel eyes bulging with the joy of the fight. Jaina parried a head strike, blocked a gut kick by driving an elbow into his instep, then hook-trapped a blazing fast head slap and hung off his enormous arm as she swung up, wrapping her legs around his waist and shocking him three times in the ribs before his reptilian neural system registered the incapacitating jolts and finally dropped him to the grass in a heap of quivering scales. Jaina rolled over her shoulder and came up ready to face her last unzapped opponent. But Jag was still sitting on the far side of the courtyard. He was trying to catch the wind that had been knocked out of him and rubbing a red welt where he had apparently struck his forearm with his own electro staff.
"You didn't have to shock yourself," Jaina teased.
She deactivated her electro staff.
"You could have just said stop."
Jag didn't smile, but a twinkle did come to his durasteel gaze.
"I'm not so sure," he said. "You had that wild look in your eye again."
Jaina did not need to ask what look. She knew the one he meant. It was the one she had learned in Keldabe, when Bevin taught her the art of losing herself to the fight. She looked around at her four opponents, who were all still resting on the grass, trying to catch their breath and let their neural systems recover from the jolts they had received.
"You four want to go again?"
She looked around the courtyard perimeter, where her parents, uncle, and several masters stood watching the workout session. Behind them loomed one of the amber-stained mine buildings the Jedi were now calling home, with the billowing crowns of a few dozen kolg trees showing above the structure's corrugated roof.
"Maybe we could get Master Duron to help out."
If that didn't prove to them that she was ready to go after Kytus again, nothing would.
"No more sparring today, Jedi Solo," said Sil'Gall.
The Mon Calamari master stepped into the practice area, holding a large bioscanner in her flipper-like hands.
"Even if your injuries no longer trouble you, they are not healed."
"They're healed enough," Jaina countered. "Kytus is recuperating too, you know."
"Then perhaps someone else should harry the prey a bit while you recover,"
Tisar said, still sitting on the mat.
"This one would love to take over the hunt."
Jaina glanced over.
"No offense, Tisar," she said, cocking her brow. "But if I'm not ready, how come you're the one on the ground?"
Tisar's pebbly lips drew back in reptilian surprise. Then he slapped his tail on the grass and began to sis almost uncontrollably.
"No offense,"
He slapped his tail down again.
Truly funny.
Lobaka chuffed in puzzlement, then looked over at Tisar and shook his head. Barabel humor remained inscrutable, at least to Wookiees. Zack rose, looking a little embarrassed, and stepped over to Jaina. Okay, maybe you've got a point, he said. But if you re-injure yourself training, where will you be then? Clytus will have healed, and you won't. Jaina considered this, then sighed.
You would have to be the voice of reason.
She raised her arms so Silgal could run the bioscanner over her ribs.
All right, let's grab a set of shatter panels.
Panels? Jag started toward her. Jaina, listen to Zack. You've got to—
Shatterpoint is a force technique, Jag. Not a physical one, Luke said, speaking from the edge of the courtyard. And Jaina does need to practice. It shouldn't aggravate her injuries. He turned to Silgal. Right? Silgal studied the bioscanner for a moment, then nodded.
As long as you don't twist your body too violently, Jedi Solo.
Thanks, Jaina said. I won't.
As Zek and the others fetched a set of panels from the edge of the practice mat, Jaina closed her eyes and began a breathing exercise to clear her mind. During one of her debriefings with Luke, she had described how Jason had used Shatterpoint to destroy Roger's Beskar Gam. Luke had surprised her by suggesting that he teach it to her. Jaina should not have been surprised that her uncle had mastered the technique himself, but she was. So she had foolishly blurted out something about it being a lost art, and that hardly anyone could master it. Luke had simply smiled and replied that an art was not lost just because it could be wielded only by a handful, and that if her twin brother was one of the few capable of learning it, so was she. By the time Jaina had cleared her mind, her four sparring partners stood around her in a semicircle. Each was holding a small panel in front of him, his legs braced and his elbows locked so the panel would not move when it was struck. Jaina did not take any time to study her targets or be certain of her strike. She simply looked at the panel in Jag's hands, a homogeny slab 5 centimeters thick. She actually saw how the force bound its cells together, how they were organized into long lines that gave the wood its grain, and exactly where that grain could be split. Then she simply let her hand slide out and do it, let her fingertips touch the place she had seen. At once she felt the force shooting through her hand as it rushed into that weak spot, shattering the bonds that had held the slab together. The homogeny did not just split, it shattered, and Jag was left holding 2 tiny fragments with a pile of slivers at his feet.
Nice job, he said.
Jaina had already turned to the panel in Zek's hands, a plastoid breastplate that had been taken from a captured stormtrooper. She saw the plastoid as she had seen the homogeny, but now there was no true grain, just layer after layer of polymers crossing in every conceivable direction, with one spot where the layers were particularly thin. She let her hand slide out again. The breastplate fragmented into 12 pieces and clattered to the grass at Zek's feet. Next, Jaina turned to Tisar and let her hand slide out to touch the small square of Hephridium hull plate he was holding. The square parted into triangles and fluttered out of the Barabel's hands. Finally, she turned to Lobaka, who was holding a disc of raw Beskar. Luke had arranged to buy the disc from one of the arms dealers that the Mandalorians were now quite freely supplying with the stuff. She almost hesitated, but forced herself not to think, to just see and do, and before she knew it, her hand was shooting out toward the heart of a spiral of carefully worked metal crystals, and the disc crumbled, just as Roger's breastplate had when Clytus had tapped it with the pommel of his lightsaber. Behind her, Jaina's father let out a loud, embarrassing whoop.
"Who needs a lightsaber? Han exclaimed. I haven't seen anything that impressive since your mother wrapped a chain around Jabba's throat.
Han, you didn't see that, her mother said. Freeze blind, remember?
Jaina turned to find her mother tapping her temple near her eyes, and her father still pumping his fist into the air. But it was the doorway a dozen meters behind them that caught her interest. Emerging from it was a handsome young man with reddish hair and his father's blue eyes, with a pair of well-dressed Haepan women following close behind.
Ben?
Jaina spread her arms and rushed across the grass to greet him.
You're back!
She wrapped him in a tight embrace and whirled him back and forth, ignoring for the moment whether he wished to speak himself or even needed to breathe.
Don't you ever do that again,
she ordered. Ben managed to disengage himself. Do what?
Move away from your backup, Jaina said. What were you thinking?
She finally began to notice the women accompanying Ben, and grew so distracted she did not hear Ben's reply. They were definitely identical twins, and definitely Haepan nobility, with the fine clothes and haughty bearing typical of women of that class. But they were more than that. With their long straight noses, thin arcing eyebrows, and silky red hair, they were obviously relatives of Tenel Ka, and fairly close relatives at that. Not to get you and Aunt Leia captured, too, Ben was saying. That's the protocol for a situation like the one we were in at Monument Plaza, and it was the right thing to do.
Yes, it was, Leia agreed, joining them. Welcome back. And please forgive Jaina. She was just worried about you. We all were.
Thanks, Aunt Leia. Ben smiled at her briefly, then looked back to Jaina and frowned. I'm a Jedi, Jaina, with a job to do just like you. If we're going to keep working together, you're going to have to remember that, okay? Jaina lifted her brow.
Yeah, sure, Ben. Sorry.
She looked to the two women accompanying him.
What have you two been feeding him?
The two women looked at each other. Then the one on the right said,
Don't blame us if you can't handle your men. All we did was deliver him to Her Majesty as ordered.
Ben just shook his head, then turned to his father, who was standing quietly beside Leia.
Good to see you, Dad, he said. At least you're not treating me like a kid anymore.
Thanks.
You're welcome, Ben, Luke said. But there's no need to thank me. All I did was give you a mission, and you performed brilliantly. Without you, we wouldn't have known where to look for Kytus, and we wouldn't have known what he was up to in the Roach system. Ben beamed for a second, then hugged his father. Jaina was surprised to see that he had already grown almost as tall as Luke. In a year, he might be even taller.
I guess I had a good teacher, Dad.
After a moment, Ben freed himself and stepped back, his expression growing serious again.
But there was a problem with my escape. A big one.
There always is, kid, Han said. What's this one?
Ben hesitated.
Maybe I'd better let Tenel Ka explain it. She has the intelligence reports.
Tenel Ka is here? Zek gasped. Ben looked at Zek as though he had just asked a very foolish question.
Of course she's here, he said. You didn't think the Dragon Queen came all this way just to deliver me, did you?
Jaina frowned and looked to her mother, who did not seem surprised at all.
What did I miss?
Sorry, Luke said. I didn't want to interrupt your sparring. The Dragon Queen arrived an hour ago with most of the Haepan home fleet. Now Jaina was really confused, as were Jag, Zek, and the others. Moving an entire fleet to a secret base wasn't a very good way to keep it secret.
What's the home fleet doing here? Zek asked.
Her Majesty will explain all that shortly, said one of the women with Ben.
She stepped to Zek's side and looped a hand through his arm.
In the meantime, why don't you show me around, handsome? My name's Taryn.
Zek looked somewhere between confused and shocked. Then his expression softened. Maybe we can do that later. Taryn? He nodded toward the door, where a large Hapen security detail was escorting Tenel Ka and Alana into the courtyard. Right now, I'd like to hear what Her Majesty has to say. Taryn looked annoyed, but only for a moment.
Later is good, too, she said. But don't disappoint me. We have a date.
Sure. Zek was clearly reeling from the straightforward manner of Hapen women. He flushed and glanced over at Jaina. I mean, if you don't mind. Taryn turned to Jaina, her expression more appraising than apologetic.
He's yours.
Well, no,
Jaina said. Zek looked even more uncomfortable, and through the force, she could feel Jag smirking at her dilemma.
Of course he's not mine. We don't...
Well, then,
Taryn interrupted. She smiled and squeezed Zek's biceps.
Lucky me.
Taryn's twin sister rolled her eyes.
We're supposed to be on duty, Taryn.
Don't be such a dog, Trista,
Taryn replied.
I can have fun and do my duty.
Trista stifled her reply as Tenel Ka emerged from the building, holding the hand of a beautiful little girl with her mother's red hair and a cute button nose. Jaina's heart broke. It was the first time she had ever seen her niece, and Alana's resemblance to Jason at that age was striking. She could not understand how her brother could have introduced so much evil into the galaxy when he had such innocence to protect. Nearly everything else Kytus had done might have been forgivable. But how could he have taken his own daughter hostage? As Tenel Ka and Alana arrived, the group made a place for them to stand, but there were no big solo hugs for Alana. Her paternity was known by only a few, and for Alana's sake, Tenel Ka and the Solos wanted to keep it that way. Your Majesty, Luke said, thank you for visiting us here on Shedu Mod. We're honored. Tenel Ka smiled and impatiently motioned for everyone to stop bowing.
There is no need for formalities when we are alone, my friends, she said, nor do we have the time. I'm afraid I've come with some alarming news.
Luke nodded. We suspected as much when you arrived with your fleet. What is it?
As Ben may have told you, she said, my father was captured and taken aboard the Anakin Solo.
Ben hadn't told them, of course, which certainly explained the dead silence that greeted her announcement. After a moment of quiet, Ben said,
it was my fault. I thought I was clean, but...
It wasn't your fault, Jedi Skywalker, said Trista. You told us we were being watched.
Leia stepped over and took Tenel Ka's hand.
I'm so sorry, Your Majesty. If there's anything we can do, perhaps later, Princess Leia,
Tenel Ka interrupted.
But Princess Solder knew the location of this base. Apparently Darth Kytus forced him to reveal it, because the Anakin Solo has broken out of the Roach system with the Remnant Assault Fleet. They were last seen entering the transitory mists near Roku Station.
Kytus is coming to us?
Asked Saba Sebatine, looking entirely too happy about it.
You are certain?
Tenel Ka nodded.
And there may not be time to evacuate. The Mist Patrol informs me that with the right charts, Kytus could be assaulting the Mod system within 12 hours.
What are the chances he has the right charts?
Han asked. Even if he doesn't, the Force will guide him, Luke said. He turned to Tenel Ka. But I doubt your father revealed our location. I think Kytus may have found us another way.
What other way?
Tenel Ka asked.
Only a handful of people know the location of this base.
Luke motioned Jaina forward, then pointed at the stains that Jaina still had not been able to scrub off her face and neck.
Do you recognize this?
Tenel Ka's jaw dropped.
Those are not burns.
Before Luke or anyone else could answer, she leaned in closer to Jaina.
That's Kaidus's blood.
I knew it, Jaina said, growing uneasy. It's from his arm, and it won't come off.
Because it's a blood trail,
Tenel Ka explained.
Some of the Night Sisters used the technique to mark their slaves, so they could always track them down.
Jaina's heart sank.
So I led him here.
She turned to Luke.
And you knew? Why did you let me stay?
I knew Kaidus would be coming, Luke corrected. For me. Jaina frowned.
But he saw me cut off his arm, she said. He must know that I'm the one hunting him.
He knows you are the sword, Saba corrected. Does one win a battle by breaking the sword, or the warrior who wields it?
Luke turned to Tenel Ka. Thank you for the warning. I don't mean to be an ungracious host, but we have to prepare, and we may not have long. Perhaps you and Alana should leave while there's still time.
We are staying, as is my fleet,
Tenel Ka said.
If the Jedi fall, so does my throne. Better to defend it here among friends than on Hapes, with more enemies at my back than in front of me.
It will be an honor, Jedi Majesty, Saba said. This one will be proud to hunt at your side.
As Luke and the others began to make plans for the coming onslaught, Jaina was still struggling to grasp how her brother had taken advantage of her. She did not understand exactly how Night Sister blood trails worked, but she assumed the Force user somehow maintained a connection to the blood he had shed, and employed that to keep track of his living property. If Jaina had had any lingering doubts about whether there might be any trace of Jason left inside Darth Kaidus, they were gone now. Kaidus had known exactly what he was doing when he ordered those stormtroopers to redirect their fire, and his cold calculation in the face of such an injury scared her even more than seeing him stand up after losing his arm. He hadn't wanted Jaina killed then, because he needed her to lead him to the Jedi now. When Jaina returned her attention to the others, it was to find her father studying her with sad, sympathetic eyes.
"It finally happened, didn't it?" he asked.
"Yeah," Jaina said. "I think it did."
Ben frowned.
"What happened?"
"Her last hope died," Leia said. "She realized that Jason is totally gone. There's nothing left to bring back into the light."
Jaina nodded.
"That's pretty much it," she said. "I started to wonder again when he ordered those stormtroopers to redirect their fire. But whatever I thought I saw, it was in my eyes, not his."
Ben contemplated this for a moment, then asked, "But how do you know when someone can be brought back toward the light?"
"First, they must want to be redeemed,"
Tenel Ka said.
"All Kaidus wants is to control everything he sees. There is no use wishing otherwise, Ben."
"I did some pretty terrible things," Ben pointed out, "and no one gave up on me."
"You got a little confused, kid," Han said. "That happens. But you didn't go around killing family members and burning planets."
Jaina glanced over at Luke. He was studying Ben not with shock or disbelief over his son's naivete, but with pride. Luke understood his son much better than they did, she realized. Whatever Ben was working through, it had nothing to do with Jason. Or Kitus.
Ben, Jaina asked, are you talking about Tahiri?
Ben looked uncomfortable. I'm just asking a question. How else am I going to know?
But you must have a reason for asking, Leia prompted. What is it?
Ben looked at the ground and exhaled, trying to gather his thoughts, or his courage. Finally, he said,
I think Tahiri hated what she did.
Killing Shavu? Asked Leia.
Right. And torturing me. She almost...
Ben stopped there, cringing at some memory he didn't care to share.
Tahiri tried everything she could to avoid hurting me. And when Shavu died, she felt horrible. She's not like Kitus. Not yet.
The reply came from an unexpected source, a little voice down by Tenel Ka's thigh.
Jedi Jason likes hurting people,
Alana said.
He scares me.
Jaina shuddered. Now Kitus's own daughter feared him. The Jason Solo she had grown up with would never have wanted such a thing. She crouched in front of her niece and took Alana's tiny hands in her own.
He'll never scare you again, Alana. I promise.
Alana looked doubtful.
You really promise?
Sure, Jaina said.
I really promise.